Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 25th of February, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man and background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates. The newsmakers in person tonight, 5 new cases of COVID-19, all self-isolating. 40 active cases on the island, nobody in Nobles. I will have details on those COVID numbers. A new organ donation system for the Isle of Man by this summer. And when you can, will you need a vaccine passport to travel? And what on earth is going on with Dandara in Ballasalla?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. First am I, Tessa Hawley.
First am I, 5 new cases of COVID-19 have been discovered on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. All are said to be close contacts of the recent cluster and were already self-isolating. The total number of active cases is 40. Prospective buyers at the new Dandara housing estate in Ballasalla could miss out on their new home because of delays caused by COVID-19. The Rea My developer is blaming a shortage of labour and materials. It's returned the £1,000 plot reservation fee for houses due to be completed after June the 30th. Government is aiming to build a framework to protect people who are unable to make their own decisions. A consultation has gone live today, seeking feedback on a draft of the island's first capacity bill. Further afield, the UK's coronavirus alert level has dropped down a notch, but we're being told that that's under no illusion that infection rates and hospital admissions are still high. The four nations' chief medical officers believe the risk of the NHS being overwhelmed within 3 weeks has receded. Teachers say they're relieved that no computer or algorithm will determine what grades their A-level and GCSE students get in England this year. After last summer's controversy, the Education Secretary says he's putting his trust in teachers in the absence of exams. And finally, Mr. Potato Head is no longer a mister. It's losing its title to become gender neutral. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah Tessa, thank you. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, no warnings out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours on the island this evening. Lovely, dry and clear through the evening and overnight down to 3 degrees. In fact, it's so clear there'll be a risk of grass frost tomorrow morning. For tomorrow, Friday, Jehenia, dry and sunny with a light breeze, top temperature 10 Celsius. Dry overnight into Saturday, the minimum 6 degrees. And Jasan, dry, partially cloudy with a light or moderate wind coming in from the south, up to 10 degrees. And watch out for those grass frosts overnight. Sunset in a little under a quarter of an hour's time at 13 minutes to 6. High water, 16 minutes to 11 tonight. Low water tomorrow morning, 4 minutes to 5 a.m. Sunrise at 7:15. And high water tomorrow morning is at 12 minutes to 11. Nothing to report on the mountain road this evening. Everything's fine. The Ben McCree is safely in Douglas Harbour too.
For the latest high-tech windows, doors, conservatories, fascias and soffits, visit Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom in Snugborough.
It's the 8th day since the index case of the recent COVID cluster, a steam packet employee, was first detected. There are now 40 active cases on the Isle of Man. Ewan Gorn with the details.
A further 5 new cases of COVID-19 were discovered on the island in the last 24 hours. According to the latest government update, all are close contacts of the recent cluster and were already self-isolating. They'll continue to quarantine with household members while further tests are offered. 38 of the 40 active cases the island now has are related to the steam packet cluster, with the other 2 being travel-related. An investigation continues into whether crew at the publicly owned ferry company have complied fully with the COVID rules laid out by government. We've still not had an update on that investigation. No one is currently in hospital with the virus, with 29 people still waiting for results and 84 waiting to have a test. Turning to vaccines, 738 were delivered today as of the mid-afternoon update, 592 of which were second doses. Most were given at the airport hub today. For all the latest, head to manxradio.com.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Problems with supply and labour caused by the COVID-19 pandemic are being blamed by the developer of the new housing estate in Ballasalla. Dandara has returned a £1,000 reservation fee to prospective buyers for homes due to be finished after the 30th of June. Some people have been given as little as 2 weeks to pay a 10% deposit for houses due to be completed before that date. The MP for the region, for that constituency, is Graham Cregeen. He says buyers face losing their prospective new home or taking a big risk.
It is, you know, and being put in this position for that deposit and then having to reapply to the bank later on and hoping that the bank will sort of give them the mortgage to complete on the property, which then puts their deposit at risk, you know, because it's outside that three-month window.
So the reservation fee, that isn't entered into a contract, but the deposit is a contract, is it, at that point?
From what I understand, as soon as they enter into contract with the deposit, that's it. So you've got a legal contract there, but the reservation fee, apparently someone had been put down last year. What they advised me is that they've been sort of asking people to go into contract, and then what's happened is they've given them the 14 days. Some people have gone into contract, but the people who have contacted me, or, like I said, reasons outside their control, have not been able to do it within the 14 days. And what they thought was going to be their properties, they've been advised, well, not anymore.
What was your feeling from the meeting with Dandara? Were they sympathetic to this plight of some people, or was it a case of, well, we've got to look after our business here?
Well, what they did is, we're listening to what you're saying. It was a non-committal about what was going to happen. But, you know, I did spend in excess of 2 hours there discussing this, so trying over and over again to put the point for these people. I feel for these people who have been put in this situation that, you know, you think you're going to move into your house, you know, by June, and now to be told, well, you may have to reapply for it again.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree left Heysham this afternoon at 2:04. She arrived in Douglas Harbour about 10 minutes ago. On the Lingspan at the moment, she'll depart this evening at 7:45, heading for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30, leaving overnight at 2:15, back in Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
MHK is campaigning to keep Snaefell surgery open in Anarchur in its current form, say they're confident a pragmatic approach can be taken. Yesterday, the GP partners met with the Health and Social Care Minister, Mr Ashford, and his representatives after a decision to terminate the contract with the department. South Douglas MHK Paul Quine says he believes the meeting was cordial and constructive, but Captain Quine says he'll continue to monitor the situation.
It's not a decision that we can influence purely as constituency MHK. So obviously negotiations at this level are best left to members of the DHSC, the minister, as I say, and the partners of the practice to hopefully reach a successful outcome.
And that successful outcome, in your opinion, would be for things to remain as they are with the same GPs, the same team at the surgery?
Yeah, I mean, as I said in the House of Keys on Tuesday, front and centre in all of this has to be the continued welfare and healthcare of the patients. And I'm happy to say that remains the number one priority. I'm really proud that such a well-respected medical practice such as Snaefell Surgery is available to the people of South Douglas, and the numerous letters and conversations which I've had with constituents recently has only fully underlined the high esteem in which the practice and its dedicated staff are held in.
So what are the next steps then? They've had this meeting yesterday. What happens next?
Well, as far as I've been led to believe, there's a further meeting scheduled for Monday. And as the minister said in his statement to the House of Keys on Tuesday, additional revenue streams under the existing formula could be discussed with Snaefell Surgery. So I'd very much like to think that was the case and the practice, therefore, can continue very much in its present vein and continue to offer its excellent service to the people of South Douglas.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions.
Good evening. It's 20 to 6, just days before its first earnings as a public company. Airbnb has a problem, according to the New York Times. A rift's growing between its 4 million hosts and the company, exacerbated by the pandemic and the rental giant's cancellation policies. One Airbnb host says she lost $25,000 in reservations and claims Airbnb did nothing to make up for the loss. Hundreds like her are going after the company in the form of lawsuits, while others are opting to book guests directly or turning to other sites. A crunch may be on the way. And more on HSBC's plans to cut 40% of its office space globally and shift leadership and investment to Asia. The bank, currently Europe's biggest bank, plans to move to hybrid working and will continue with existing plans to cut 35,000 jobs. HSBC revealed its profits slumped by more than a third in 2020. Property analysts say vacant office space is on the rise in London's financial services district, and other lenders have announced plans to cut costs by exiting offices, including Lloyds Bank, which saw profits down 72% in 2020.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions, a global financial network you can trust. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed lower in spite of the Fed's efforts to calm concerns on inflation. US stocks traded lower. Oil remained steady. Gold price lower as US Treasury yields remained elevated. In corporate news, shares in paper and packaging firm DS Smith spiked on reports that the rival group Mondi's considering a bid. A boom in commodity prices and the easing of COVID curbs in the second half helped Anglo American report better than expected annual profits and lift its dividend. And the numbers now at the close from Ramsey Crookall. The FTSE 100 down a tenth of a percent at 6,651. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.7% at 13,879. Just after 5 o'clock in New York City, Ramsey Crookall report that the Dow Jones Industrial down 1% at 31,644. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down just over 2% at 13,304. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 down 1.4% at 3,868. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1.41 and €1.15.2. And in commodities, finally, gold down a little over 1.3% at $1,780 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down 0.9% at $66.95.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. It's 16 minutes before 6 live from the Isle of Man. And if you are listening to this update as a podcast, thank you for joining wherever in the world, whatever time of day you're listening. So at some point, we're all going to be able to travel again. But what paperwork will you need after receiving a coronavirus vaccine? Chairman of the online regional travel group, Brian Kelly, explains how work on a digital passport is progressing and whether it's something the Manx government should adopt.
It is the main topic that will allow, obviously, the world to get back to travelling safely. So, for example, IATA, which is the aviation governing body globally, they've been trialling a digital COVID travel passport via Emirates in the UAE, also out of Qatar and also out of Panama. And these tests have been going on for the last few months. Our latest understanding is that a global digital passport, vaccination passport, will be available in a matter of weeks. And I think from an aviation point of view, I think what we will see is that in the main, it's very likely that if you haven't had the vaccination and you can't prove that you've got a certificate and you're not part of the digital process, the likelihood is you won't be able to fly or get access to that particular country. So we believe potentially that is the way that the world will go initially, maybe for the next 12 to 18 months. It'll be all based around vaccination passports.
So from the talks that you've had with the government then, are you confident that the Isle of Man will be in a position to adopt this digital passport when it's up and running?
I think they'll keep all their options open, and it might be that there are more favourable options available as time moves on. This is a very, very fast-moving sort of situation. Bear in mind, we've only been sort of really vaccinating people for sort of 6 or 7 weeks. So in the next 6 to 8 weeks, the next 2 months, we could be in a very different position again. So I think the government will keep their options open, see what happens around the world, and then obviously jump in when there's a situation that they believe suits our particular model.
Is this something that would just affect international travel, or could it affect Manx residents just travelling back and forth to the UK as well?
I think it's going to affect all travel, and not just travel. You know, I think things like going to the cinema or going to a theatre or going to a concert.
Manx Radio Sport.
Pass to my Tim Glover.
Hockey, and last Saturday, Backers A secured yet another Rossborough Men's Hockey Premier League title. I asked our hockey correspondent here at Manx Radio, Sam Spooner, what's the secret of their success?
They just seem to be able to continue to grow that team to be better than they were the previous year. And that's a testament to their youth policy there. And a fantastic job. I actually wrote that it was their 15th title in a row. I was wrong. It's their 11th title in a row. But it's 17 titles in 20 years that Backers Men's A side for top flight titles. And that is a magnificent. And I'm sure they're going to be gunning for 12 next year.
Sam Spooner. This Saturday, Backers A go in as champions against Vikings B. And the battle for second place, the two sides meet, Valkyries A against Vikings A. That match is at 3:35 at Castle Rushen High School. Further afield, and England's cricketers have lost a quite remarkable third test against India inside just 2 days. The hosts wrapped up a 10-wicket victory by chasing down their target of 49 runs in just 8 overs. In all, 17 wickets fell on the second day, with Joe Root's team all out for only 81 in their second innings. India now lead the four-match series 2-1. And Scotland's game with France in Rugby Union's Six Nations Championship on Sunday is set to be called off. The competition's organising committee has recommended the game be postponed due to an outbreak of coronavirus in the French camp. Training was cancelled today after an 11th player tested positive. The decision will be ratified by the Six Nations Council later.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by the island's only dedicated electric car service centre.
12 minutes before 6, one departure, one arrival at Ronald's Way. The 10 to 5 patient transfer, Logan Air to Liverpool, left 13 minutes late at 3 minutes past 5. Back this evening at 20 to 7. On the roads, Mantron Road's absolutely fine. It's a lovely evening. Quarterbridge Road, one way northbound at the moment for curb replacement. That should be finished by the end of the week, well, by the end of Sunday. And then it's on to nighttime closures, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. from Monday, Peel Road to Tramode Road on Quarterbridge Road, resurfacing the road and footpath reconstruction up to those lovely new curbstones. Station parking, Colby, is closed for curb replacement there, and resurfacing Luthwaite's Way and Victoria Road in Port St Mary, both closed to vehicles, and there's a parking suspension around there too as well. East Quay and Peel's closed from the entrance to the boatyard to the junction with Mill Road. Glen Elphin Road in Ramsey's got a parking suspension due to a nearby construction. That unnamed lane at the back of Duke Street by Villiers Square closed till the 3rd of June for reconstruction of numbers 42 to 50 Duke Street. And the footways on the eastern and western sides of South Prom in Ramsey are closed, parking suspended while they build and extend a new RNLI lifeboat station.
the island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with Keyside.
An opt-out organ donation system looks likely to come into force this summer. The view of Garth MHK Martin Perkins, whose organ donation and human tissue bill has passed through the clauses stage. Third readings are due in both Keys and Ledgecoe before it's sent for royal assent. Martin Perkins with the details.
What it actually means is that everybody is opted in of organ donation unless you make the choice to opt out, which isn't a problem. Just let your relatives know, your nearest and dearest. Or if you want to make sure that it is logged on the UK database, the UK have very kindly organ donating database have opened it up to the Isle of Man. Many people have already registered. You can also register to opt out on there. So it makes it absolutely clear to everybody what your wishes are. And I think that's the most important thing. If we look at what has happened in Wales, it has increased the numbers of donors. And consequently, the people that benefit are many fold. One tragedy gives 6 or 7 other people a new lease of life.
When it comes close to the time when this is going to come into force, will the relevant department, I'm assuming it's the health department in this case, will it be making people aware that if they do want to not be in for whatever reason, making them aware of the steps they need to go through?
It will be fully publicised, yeah, and you're right. Both sides of the coin will be outlined to everybody. I don't know if you've seen some of the advertising at the moment, but the UK is getting their organ donating arrangements up to speed, and the Isle of Man will be coming in on the back of that. Every year there is a special day on the 15th of March, which the health service is mandated to publicise organ donating, and it celebrates Daniel Boyd's birthday, a young lad who really prompted organ donating on the Isle of Man. He was unfortunately killed in a car accident, and his parents, his mum Diane, allowed his organs to go forward, and he helped many other people. And Diane is responsible for the organ donating garden up at Nobles Hospital. So, yeah, there will be a lot of publicity for people to make their wishes known.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
They're calling it a mental health epidemic in UK farming. Studies there have shown overwhelming evidence it's a major issue. So what about the Isle of Man? Manx Radio's Countryside presenter is Kiri Kermode.
The farming people on the Isle of Man are very, very private people. They don't want to talk about things. The fear of being maybe branded as a failure. But it is everywhere. People think maybe it's a weakness. It isn't a weakness to have a breakdown or depression or to be mentally ill. It really, really isn't. And that's why we got to talk about it. You know, whether it's here in the UK, it's across the world. There's nothing wrong with having a wobble every now and again. And I think that we can't, you know, set ourselves apart from that.
So is there a real reluctance amongst the Manx farming community then to actually talk about these issues?
I think there is. It's island life, you know, it's a small place. Like I said before, the idea of failure, I think that's what the biggest thing is we've discussed through the campaign this past week with Mind Your Head. If they don't want to talk about it, they don't want to be deemed as getting it wrong or, you know, ran into trouble, maybe money investments or investing in the wrong thing, or maybe not reaching out for help. That's the other thing. Physical workload, lots and lots of jobs to do, you know, unwittingly falling behind with paperwork, just bits and pieces like that, that all of a sudden become huge issues, and they just think, I can't talk to anyone about it.
Now, I think everyone has faced certain challenges over the last year or so with everything that's been going on with coronavirus. For farming, has that been the case as well? There's been a growing sense of these mental health issues, or is this something that's been building for some time?
I think it's been building for some time. The idea that the price for their product, the beef and lamb prices, have been low for a very long time. And actually this year, we're actually seeing a better return. So this year itself in financial position for farming is a little bit better for their products. But it's generally, it's been going on a little while. It really has. There is farmer charities out there that can help. You know, they can help financially. They can help. The Samaritans are very private. If you don't want to speak to anyone, you can go online and talk to people. But I do think that the lockdown and missing the agricultural shows and missing getting off the island to farm and sales, renewing stock, genetics, buying sheep or cattle, or even just catching up with friends or a weekend away, really does matter when you're working and living on your own for 7 days of the week. Those little events really do mean a lot. So it was really nice to hear that the Isle of Man shows were going to go ahead in the summer time.
Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker MHK says it's difficult to justify spending money to reopen Marine Drive to through traffic again. His department's consulting on closing the route to motor vehicles.
I think the important thing here is to is that people engage with this. It's great that the media have picked this up, and I've seen it flagged in social media, and that's exactly what we want. And we will listen to what people have got to say. As you rightly point out, there are going to be different views on this. I've heard some very positive initial responses, and I've heard some quite negative initial responses, and that's to be expected. What we need to do is to hear all this, reflect on it, and then see, can the issues that people have be solved or not? And if they can't, then clearly it's not something that we'd proceed with if there's an overwhelming desire against it.
The road itself has been closed as a through road for some years now because of subsidence, state of the road, that kind of thing. Would it be implausible at this stage to go the opposite of what this concept within this consultation is asking and repair the road and have it as a functional road for motor vehicles again?
Well, I think that would be a difficult business case to make, and I think the public would probably expect the funds that the department has available to be used in investing in roads across the island that are more used rather than trying to reopen something that's been closed. I think it's a matter of public record that the department's highways budgets don't allow us to do everything we would like to do. I think this would be seen as probably not a great use of public money if we were to try and reopen it as a vehicle highway. The other point, of course, is it's inherently a dangerous road given its proximity to the cliff, and also there is a record of slippage from the rock face, which led to its closing in the first place. So I think that's very unlikely in my view.
That's it for Update Tonight. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley, producer Ewan Gorn. The show is compiled from the resources of X Radio's news department. I'm Andy Wint, and there's another update tomorrow evening, Friday evening, at 5:30.